Hey, Georgetown, I'm Maverick.
And I'm Jake.
And this is episode number 38. Jake, who is a famous number 38?
Well, I feel like we need to talk about baseball because baseball is about to begin. There are two times a year that mean a lot to me. One is the beginning of football season. It's fall. It's not as hot anymore. Things are starting to just feel right with the world.
Yeah.
But secondly, and definitely not the least, is the beginning of baseball season.
Jake, did you know, you really might not know this about baseball, did you know that the Rangers are world champs?
You know what? It is finally sunk in, and I am willing to hold on to that with my whole heart. And here's the cool part about it. The Rangers could go in last place this year, and I will not let it affect anything because I've decided this year I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, because, I mean, I remember when the Mavericks won their last title.
2011.
You know, Landry was just born, okay, and now he's a teenager. So anyway, yeah, number 38, Hall of Fame pitcher Curt Schilling. Won three World Series championships, one with the Arizona Diamondbacks, two with the Boston Red Sox. But he will always be remembered in the 2004 American League Championship Series for the bloody sock game.
I have no idea.
I have to explain.
Okay.
All right, so the Red Sox were playing the Yankees, and they were down 3-0 in the series, and no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit.
Okay.
The Red Sox eked out a win in game five. They handedly won a game. They won game four.
Yeah.
They won handedly game five. And then on game six, they put out Curt Schilling, who had a messed up ankle and all these stitches, and he could barely stand. And he went out and he literally was bleeding through his sock and pitched seven scoreless innings.
Seven innings?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
That's How crazy. Can you not be a romantic about baseball, folks?
He became a Red Sox.
He did. Literally. He was a White Sox as a Red Sox with a red sock.
Okay. Anyways, so yeah. So believe it or not. So guys, I got to tell myself. But you know what? I've owned it. I'm not ashamed of it at all. Okay. I did not like baseball growing up. Never played. In fact, to this day, I don't even own a baseball glove, a baseball bat, nothing. I've never owned it. I will own it because now, last year in March or May.
Yeah, May.
It was May. I started watching some baseball games, and then Jake and Trisha took me and Mal to a baseball game and said, this is going to be a deciding factor. Am I going to be a baseball fan? And let me tell you, I had so much fun. I enjoyed it. I had a hot dog. I had peanuts. And I had, I didn't do Cracker Jacks, but I did do a Dr. Pepper. And I'm like, I'm going to experience baseball. And I absolutely loved it. And so I became a diehard fan last year.
Yes, you did.
And it just happened to be the greatest year to become a Ranger fan.
You know, it's like the parable of where the people went and worked all day.
Yes.
And then they went and picked up somebody an hour before the day ended. And you and I both got to have the same reward, but we felt very differently because I have suffered through this team my whole life, and you just showed up. You're like, yeah, I'm a Rangers fan.
But here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. Why I have not seen as many times the Rangers have lost as you. I watched that game and they won. I went to like five or six games. Guess how many times they won? They won once, and it was the time we went in May. Every other time they lost, I watched Altuve hit three home runs in three at bats, and us lose. Like, it was horrible, and it basically became the steal. And I won't go to. I've already talked probably too much about it, but I became a baseball fan. I love it, and Jake has been able to word vomit on me just different things about baseball. One of my favorites is there's unwritten rules about baseball.
Yeah.
So Jake, give us some of these unwritten rules.
All right, y'all. So Mike McDonald is listening to this more than he's listened to any podcast ever.
Absolutely.
So Mike, shout out. We love you. Thank you so much for being a real baseball fan. But, you know, there's just rules, and it's funny because you don't realize that you know them until somebody asks you and you're like, oh yeah, it's a foregone conclusion. Here's a rule.
Yeah.
All right. One rule. When you're running onto the field or off the field, never, and I mean ever, step on the baseline. Like, if you ever heard the term step on a crack, you'll break your mama's back.
Oh yeah.
If you step on the baseline, you've doomed your team forever. Don't step on the baseline.
Forever.
You step over the baseline every single time. And several others. I'm trying to think of a good one. Oh, all right. So you're down by 10 runs in the sixth inning, and the opposing pitcher is throwing a no-hitter, which means he has not given up a hit the entire game. It is bad form to attempt a bunt to get yourself on base. Do not bunt. The other team will think you're not being respectful to the gods of baseball. You try to hit away and get a real hit. There's many people that have done it, and it makes people angry every time.
Oh, so people like have broken these rules.
Oh,
before.
Yes. Okay, yes. Okay. They've broken the rule, and people are like, bad form. This is awful. Baseball fans are weird. Okay. But
they're very traditional.
Not as weird as golf fans.
Whoa. Okay. That's something yeah. We can't do.
All right. Next one. And I'll quit sharing them. Let's say you hit a huge home run and you make a big deal out of it as you run around the bases. Like instead of just hitting the home run and, you know, trotting around the bases, let's say you try to get the crowd pumped up, or you make fun of the opposing pitcher because he threw a hanging curveball. If you do that, chances are sometime in that game or the next game or 70 games ahead, the other pitcher will not forget, and he will hit you with a baseball. It's going to happen.
Which I think that's crazy. I did see this. Last thing about baseball, potentially. This guy for the Mariners has been hit like one of the most times, and they say it's because he crowds the plate or something like mm-hmm. that. But like because he crowds the plate, he literally just gets hit with a baseball all of the time.
So I know you said you didn't do baseball. Have you ever been hit with a baseball?
No, never.
It really hurts. Okay. Like these are superhumans that can let a 90 mile an hour baseball is not even considered fast anymore, but have you ever been hit with a 90 mile an hour, baseball? There would have to be an ambulance come pick me up and remind me who my family is and bring the smelling salts and probably plan my funeral. And these guys just get mad and want to fight. I'm like, you hit me with a baseball. I lay on the ground and suck my thumb. You know?
Yeah, I did. I do know one, but it's because you or Jason Savard told me. So last thing really is if you get hit with a baseball, you don't rub it.
No, do not touch it.
Yeah.
You will get made fun of by everybody if you rub it. You act like nothing happened so you can make the other team think that you're tough.
Yeah, I love it. So anyways, to our main topic, I know we talked a whole lot about baseball, but we want to have fun on this podcast as well and get you a little behind the scenes of what we love. Are there any, if you can think of, unwritten rules of church?
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. Gonna get you in trouble.
You listen to this podcast, and you're one of two people. You're the person that's sitting in the car going, I know exactly what Jake is talking about. In fact, he shouldn't even be talking about this out loud. He should just know. Or you're the person that goes, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And I don't really disagree with you. A lot of these things are ridiculous, but they're realities.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And
taking it to a little bit more of a serious place is there are churches that have unwritten rules and don't even know they have them.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, what are some unwritten rules of church? Well, the foundation of this is really, what is the culture of a church? What's the culture that the church has? Because if a church has a culture, a good way to define culture of a church is the unwritten rules of how things are.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is just who we are. So if you attend a church for 10 years, you're going to have an acute awareness of what the culture it is. And you may not even be able to verbalize it. But if you're a visitor and you walk in the door, you can almost see the culture within seconds. And it's amazing how tunnel vision we can be as church people, that we don't realize what might seem strange to a person that's never been. But we need to be aware of this because we want people to feel loved and encouraged and just
welcomed.
Absolutely. You don't want somebody to be screaming, bunt it, you'll get on base. No. We need to
step
make sure
on the line.
We need to make sure you know our rules. And then also we need to make sure that we know that if our rules matter or not.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
I mean, maybe this rule needs to change.
So we've
actually listed some of these rules. So would you share one or two?
Yeah. So the first one I can ever think of that is a very much an unwritten rule is that's my seat. Like, that's my seat. Back in the day, it was that's my pew. And what's funny is the first church I ever worked at, like, They had pews, and me and Mal, we had a pew. Like, we knew exactly where we were going to sit every single Sunday. No one else sat there. And, like, why, if someone did, we wouldn't have been mean about it and stuff like that. But I've also experienced other times where someone else sits in someone's seats, and, like, it won't even be the person that's their seat or that's their pew. It will be someone be like, oh, that's Jake's seat. Don't sit there. That's Jake's seat. Like, oh my goodness.
I worked at a church that a man before he passed away requested that we put a placard where he sat so people could know that that was his seat. So you may be listening to this and go, I know exactly what he's talking about. This is how my church was. Hopefully not is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my seat. It's amazing. You can say so much with one simple sentence. And what you're saying when you say that's my seat is you're saying, I don't want new people in our church when you're saying that.
Yeah, you're saying, oh, or like that you have been here so long that you've earned some right. You know, you've earned some say. And why, if you're a servant, you know, then like, yes, as much as you're a servant, God gives blessings. But let me give you a little hint. It's not your seat.
No.
You don't get a seat. You know, and you know, it's funny because I say that and you'd be like, well, Maverick, you sit kind of in the same area every single Sunday. Yeah, we do. And it's because, what's the right word? Consistency or routine? No. Routine's not bad. It's because I'm going to lose my wife if I don't know where she's sitting, you know?
Yeah, and if somebody was sitting in your seat, my guess is you'd find a new one.
We would find a new seat. But
see, I never have to worry about that because I sit on the front row, and nobody likes to sit in the front row.
Yeah, and so, like, really the unwritten rule is just the experience I have of that's my seat in the negative connotation.
And I'll tell you, this happens all the time. It happens many Sundays. There are people that are going to tell someone this Sunday somewhere in the United States that, hey, you're sitting in my seat. And
that's Becky Joe's seat. Get up.
And you know what? There's probably some people out there that are mature enough to handle somebody making that comment. But what if it's a person that's attended for the first time in a long time? This is going to get intense. Can I go ahead and just make it intense? You might as well be pointing them as an arrow out the door of the church by making that comment. Mm-hmm. Friend, Jesus was crucified for us. Do we realize how absolutely ridiculous it is for us as church people to ever assume that we own anything within the church? And you know, I was taught to give up my seat for the ladies, you know, when I was growing up, but I also was taught give up my seat for a person who wants to hear the gospel. And such an important thing to be reminded of. And you know, we don't see that as much now, but we do see elements of that, which is just territorialism.
Yeah. We don't, this is going to be a bold statement, but I believe this wholeheartedly. We don't deserve anything.
No.
We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve Jesus dying on the cross. We don't deserve his resurrection. We don't deserve a relationship with him, but it's by God's grace that we get it.
Amen.
We don't deserve a seat. We don't deserve a room. We don't deserve anything. It's like, it's by God's grace that we're even here today.
Well, and another unwritten rule is make sure to use the leaf blower during the podcast.
Yeah, if you can hear that.
I don't know if y'all can hear that, but we have a leaf blower outside of the office right now. So that's not actually an unwritten rule. I just wanted y'all to know what that sound was.
Thank you so much, Mike Castor. You're the best.
You are the best.
All right, what's another unwritten rule, Jake?
Well, I need to look at what you wrote down because I did not write it down. Wow. We just talked about it. So don't get in my way. All right, maybe you've never actually heard that. Don't get in my way. But here's what we're actually saying is, if you've gone to church for longer than a month, you know that there are people that you see kind of in similar areas all of the time. And a lot of times that's just consistent people who have served a long time. But if given a certain task long enough, sometimes you can go from being a volunteer to going, no, this is my job. You know, I've been a baseball coach. I don't know why I keep talking about baseball, but you know, when you coach long enough, the coaches begin to develop their own roles. And for me, I like to be in charge of the dugout. I'm a dugout guy.
You're dugout mom.
I'm the dugout mom of the team. I want to make sure that the lineup knows who's batting. I want to make sure that everything's been picked up and everything's are good. That's great. But what happens whenever somebody needs me out in the field? Am I willing to yield my spot to another person? So when somebody says, don't get in my way, what they're really saying is, don't take my job. I've been doing this so long. I'm the only one that knows how to do it. This again is a sign of territorialism, and I've seen territorialism just destroy fellowships.
My goodness, you have no idea. Like, so me as a youth minister, the amount of times I've worked under or known of ministers be like, this youth is mine. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. If you think that way, your ministry is it's limited, and let me tell you a little secret, it's dying.
Yes.
If you think no one else can do youth but you, if no one else can do the ministry but you, let me tell you something, we're all replaceable. We're all replaceable because...
And that's not a bad thing.
No, it's, man, it is my dream to be replaced in my position by someone I help grow in Christ. Like,
it's my dream for you to be replaced. Sorry.
You're the worst. But like, seriously, like, yeah. It's my dream. And it's because, man, so often, or not so often, when I was growing and knew I had a call, so many people were like, yeah, you can't really serve here. That's theirs. That's theirs. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's God's. It's God's. And like, it's, I know I, through God's, you know, grace and all that stuff, like, I'm in the position for a reason to grow somewhere. But when God's ready to take it to the next step, guess what? It probably won't be me. And that's okay.
It is okay because we have one Savior and His name is Jesus. And we have the incredible blessing of serving in His church. And it is so much fun when you get to be a part of an area that is thriving. And sometimes leaders do such a good job that they actually work themselves out of a job.
Absolutely.
And that's not a problem in the kingdom of God. In fact, what that means is you've done such a great job that there are people that have come up after you that can assume your role. And now you're free to go to another area that's struggling and potentially duplicate the same process.
Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't get to reap any of the benefits that he... But he laid a foundation so that people could.
Yes. You know, I've always joked in ministry, some people get to be Moses, some people get to be Joshua. Moses was the one that had to go get the people out of Egypt. Mm. He had to carry people across the desert. He got them all the way to the promised land, and he didn't get to go in.
Absolutely.
Joshua got to go in. But does that take away what Moses did? No, in fact, Joshua was able to carry on the same thing that Moses had been doing as if it was just fluid. And isn't that awesome when that happens? So, you know, if you're never going to hear the term get out of my way, and I mean, maybe you have, but usually you don't. But what we really have to learn, instead of having our hands on everything, instead we need to learn to be open-handed. Yeah. Open-handed with what God has asked you to do, open-handed with what He's given you, and say, Father, whatever it is that you have me do, I just want to do it for you and for your glory. And if this season, it's time for me to pass this on to someone else, then that means God has a new season, and that season is going to be just as rewarding. And there's so much joy in just not feeling like you have to have everything in your hands. So I think we got time for one more unwritten rule. And y'all let us know, like, is there more of these that you've thought of? And they don't always have to be so serious or mean or anything
that. Yeah, some could be fun.
Absolutely.
So this is one that I think is very relatable. I'm going to go to the last one. It's what kind of church are you? And what I kind of mean by this, or kind of what I call it, it's like a church dating site. It's like, man, you and your significant other, you're trying to feel at churches and be honest, me and Mal were guilty of this when we were in our youth. And it was like, man, what kind of church are you? What's your worship like? What's your sermons like? What's your kids like? You know, what do you believe? What do you not believe? How do you do communion? What's your take on baptism? All these things. And it's like, does your church fit me? Mm. And like, that's kind of what I feel. What do you think?
Well, no, I mean, I've lived in places with people that They're looking for a church that fits them. And guess what? They never find it.
They never find it.
Because there's no church that really fits us. The reality is we have a God that is immovable. And here's why, because he's God. He wrote his word for us to read and to obey. And when we walk our lives that way, we will begin to realize that it's not so much about finding what fits us. It's about standing under God's word. And then at that point, you can have so much freedom, because I've been in many different kinds of churches. And let me tell you, I got my own preconceived ideas of what a church should be. Yeah. And to the point where it would probably, you know, someday I'm not going to be a pastor of something, and I'm just going to walk into a church and I'm gonna have to follow a pastor, you know, sure. And I hope I'm not a pain for him. I hope that I'm encouraging. I hope I'm encouraging to him. And, you know, the idea behind it is just the fact that
sorry. We're a busy church.
There's a lot of sounds that happen. We need a soundproof room in this building. You think it's possible?
Warts and all, baby.
There you go. Amen. Amen.
Go ahead.
So yeah, but again, yeah, like, you know, what kind of church are you? What we need to learn to ask constructive questions about church. Yeah. Like, there are good questions to ask. Is this church a biblical-centered church? Yes. Always my number one. Mm-hmm. And then if I know that they're centered on Scripture, there's a lot of other things that I'm going to learn to accept that maybe don't appeal to my preferences.
Yep.
But again, man, make sure that when you think about just these unwritten rules, like, don't become that person that you're looking for all the boxes to get checked. Mm-hmm. Because you might be disappointed that someday you're going to be in heaven and heaven's going to be perfect. But what if you're still looking for your boxes to get checked?
Yes, absolutely. it's man, what kind of church you really are? You a Bible teaching church, and are you a Bible living church?
Yes,
those are your two boxes. Anything else is extra, you know.
So our new slogan: Bible teaching, Bible living.
That's right, Southern Baptist, right there. Anyway, so this is a fun one to do.
Can I read the Bible?
You know what? You can.
All right. So one of the reasons we bring up these unwritten rules is Jesus would go before religious people.
Yeah.
You know, and he, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he uses the law. He says in verse 43 of chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that they may be children of your Father in heaven." Jesus comes to people and he's saying, hey, here's what your law says, and here's your take on it. But I'm the fulfillment of the law, and I'm telling you how to live according to my word. In other words, like, this is going to sound so harsh, but I don't mean it harsh, but Jesus doesn't care what rules we've created for ourselves.
That's really harsh.
He doesn't care what rules we've created for ourselves. He came to fulfill Scripture. And the only thing that's going to stand at the end of the day is the truth of God's word. So mm-hmm. if that's true, then all of our rules that we've created as men, God love us, but they're going to disappear. So are we living according to the written rule, or are we asking people to follow our unwritten rules?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fantastic. So this was a fun one to do, guys.
Next time we'll talk about what is it? What's that really fun thing we play all the time? The ice and the squeegees,
curling.
We'll do a curling episode.
Dude, I got a fun story about curling. It's funny. I never was a baseball guy. I've played curling before.
Yeah.
Anyways,
welcome to Georgetown, y'all.
Oh gosh, this is the worst. I'm trying to end it here.
Yeah, I know.
It's my turn. anyways, guys, we love you. If you like this one and you have any more unwritten rules, please let us know, because we think they're fun. Anyways, bye guys. Take care and have a great rest of your week.